Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Well, hello there and welcome to today's broadcast. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick and I'll be with you for the next half hour. Pope Benedict is making pilgrimages to Marian shrines this September, beginning with this first weekend, when he'll be welcomed in one of Italy's most well-known Marian shrines. I'm sure you'll have heard of it. It's Loreto, where thousands of young people have already gathered to welcome him. Emma McCarthy reports.
The Holy Father's two-day pilgrimage to the Holy House of Loreto marks the annual national gathering of Italian youth.
Cari amici, vi attendo numerosi.
In his Angelus address on October 29th, Pope Benedict XVI himself announced his participation in the meeting and since then has made numerous reference to it in his meetings and discourses with Italian church representatives, underlining its importance. He even composed a special prayer for the success of the Agora and has highlighted it as a mode of preparation for Sydney 2008.
Maria, Madre del Sì, tu hai ascoltato Gesù e conosci il timbro della sua voce e il battito del suo cuore.
Loreto has been a place of pilgrimage since medieval times. In the course of its history, the sanctuary of the Holy House has seen saints, humble pilgrims and popes, one memorable visit being made by John the 23rd on the vigil of the Second Vatican Council. Another was that of Europe Hope Gathering of European Youth in 1995, when together with the then Pope John Paul II, a crowd of thousands of young men and women stretched out across the Loreto Plain, beginning their journey towards the Jubilee year of 2000. Since then, the shrine overlooking the Adriatic Sea has become a spiritual centre for pilgrimages and encounters, particularly among young people. In a 1993 letter, John Paul II wrote, Loreto is the first sanctuary of international note dedicated to the Virgin. It is the true Marian heart of Christianity. Pope Benedict XVI is also particularly devoted to the Holy House. Although this is his first visit as St. Peter's successor, it is not the first time he has paid homage to the statue of the Blessed Virgin custodied in the Holy House. As a Vatican Curia Cardinal, he has made 7 pilgrimages to Loreto, mostly of a personal nature.
It's one of the few places that I really felt like I was paralysed by the sacred.
Artist and fine arts professor Breda Ennis is in Loreto. Speaking with her ahead of Pope Benedict's arrival, I asked her to bring us on a mental tour of one of her favourite places of pilgrimage.
When you come to Loreto for the first time, you think, goodness, is this small? It's a very small town. And then suddenly you come into this square. And then in front of you have this wonderful church enclosing this shrine. When you walk into this basilica, you get the shivers going up your spine if they happen to be playing the organ, because the acoustics are incredible. And so you just tiptoe right up to the top where the altar is. And right behind the altar, you find this magnificent casing around the little miraculous house of the Madonna, which is right in the middle of it. Then you walk into the house, you just walk up a ramp and walk in, and you're suddenly shocked because the contrast from between the inside and the outside is so incredible that you think you have changed centuries and maybe even millenniums in a sense, because you walk in and you just see this nude stone darkened over the years. And on the altar you have the statue of the Madonna and Child.
But Saturday's gathering is far from personal. Hundreds of thousands of young people have been camped out on the foothills of the Montorso Plain since early this week, which lies directly below the shrine. Many have walked across the peninsula along the ancient Via Laurentina pilgrims route, which links Rome and Loreto. Among them, 72 young people who will receive a missionary mandate from the Pope himself.
But I get the feeling when I look at these young people, they all seem to be very focused. They're very focused because they're listening to the messages given to them by Pope Benedict. And he has a massive listening audience in young people, because he's helping them discover what the sacred is all about, and also to rediscover the religion. And also by his openness towards the young people, everything is homing in on Loreto. This lovely energy is moving in. I just met a group of young people going down the street singing, so they're all getting revved up. You know, you can feel the excitement. This incredible energy, this marvelous, beautiful sense of the sacred.
On Saturday, they will be joined by Pope Benedict XVI for an evening of discourse, reflection and prayer. All night long, they will hold vigil before the Holy House until Sunday morning's celebration of Mass, presided over by the Pope, during which those 300,000 young men and women will renew their baptismal mandate to be Christ's witnesses throughout the world. I'm Ema McCarthy.
Our thanks there to Ema McCarthy, who spoke to Professor Breda Ennis, who's currently in Loreto. By the way, this pilgrimage is, together with that of another which already took place in August, part of the lead-up to World Youth Day in Sydney, Australia, in July 2008. That other pilgrimage I mentioned was to another Marian shrine, which beyond the lead-up to Sydney also leads up to the only European journey Pope Benedict makes in 2007. In a moment I'll be telling you about it and sharing with you the witness of one of the young people to take part in it. Maria Zell is a Marian shrine nestling in the heart of the Austrian Alps. It's going to be a very busy place in a week's time, because Pope Benedict will be making a pastoral visit there on a special anniversary as part of his apostolic journey to Austria from the 7th to the 9th of September. He does so to mark 8.5 centuries since this place of pilgrimage was first founded by a Benedictine monk. Located at a crossroads between Eastern and Western Europe, it has long drawn pilgrims from the bordering countries as well. And the titles given to Our Lady of Mariazell are a reflection of this. She's known, in fact, with a triple title at times, as Great Mother of Austrians, of Hungarians, and indeed of the Slav people. This past summer, in mid-August, a group of young people made a special 3-day pilgrimage there, ahead of Pope Benedict's arrival. Among them, a young Austrian by the name of Maria. Susie Hodges spoke to her shortly after she listened to Pope Benedict's message to them over the airwaves. So let's listen to the Pope's words before listening to Maria.
On the solemnity of the Assumption, Our Lady, may the example and prayers of Mary, Queen of Heaven, inspire and sustain us on our pilgrimage of faith, that we too may attain the glory of the resurrection and the fulfillment of our hope in her Son's promises.
It was a great experience for me. It was the first time I ever participated in such a big celebration. It was really good to meet other people from other countries and to sing with them and to celebrate with them and to see how they celebrate God and how their tradition is. And the best thing was the celebration today with thousands of people and to get to hear the Pope, who was talking to us.
And what was the Pope telling you?
He was greeting us, greeting all the young people from the different countries. It was really nice. Everyone had their own flag and they were just screaming and they were happy, singing, and it was a great experience.
One of the people involved in the organisation of the Pope's forthcoming journey to Austria is the spokesman for Austria's Bishops' Conference. His name is Dr. Paul Wurte. Emma McCarthy spoke to him about the Pope's agenda, but also about some of the technological know-how used to introduce it. Text messages, for example. Just listen.
We were thinking about how can we reach young persons, young people, together with the apostolic visit. And there was the idea to use those new media technologies, so also the mobile phone, because especially young people don't use it only for phoning, like me, I'm a little bit older, but also for sending short messages, short texts, for listening music, for playing video games and so on. And we were thinking how to use these new medias for the apostolic visit. And knowing that especially Holy Father, and when he was also a professor of theology, he's very well known in Austria and Germany for his books, and that he is very brilliant in formulating words in a very special way of a spiritual preparation of the visit of the Pope in Austria. So this was the main reason. The second reason was how can we make participation, an occasion of participation for those people who won't be able to take part on the big pilgrimage with Pope Benedict to Mariazell, because Mariazell is a small town in the mountains, and it is also limited to come there as a pilgrim together with the Pope on the 8th of September. And then we had the idea that you can get the blessing words of the Holy Father of the end of the Holy Mass in Mariazell. You can get it also by SMS. So for other next services, that you can get ringtones from those songs or bells, which you can hear during those 3 days. So songs which are also part of the songbook for the liturgical ceremonies in Mariazell, also in Vienna, and in the monastery of Heiligenkreuz. You can get those songs also as a ringtone on the mobile telephone. And the last service is that you can also get a picture, an handy picture of Benedict the 16th.
Looking more specifically at the texts themselves, you said that you chose short quotations from Benedict the 16th. When the bishops of Austria were launching this campaign, they said that the messages had a particular focus. What kind of themes? Are there any particular themes that the messages are looking at, considering that the main audiences are the youth of Austria?
We picked some words of the Holy Father from speeches, from texts, so especially of the encyclical Deus Caritas Est, but also from books he had written years before as a professor of theology. So beginning with, I think, one of the most important books of him, the Introduction into Christianity, starting with these books, we were searching for small sentences, and it was rather hard because the Pope has written so many books in the years before, and they are such a high quality. So it was not so easy to reduce from this mess of small sentences to distill 40 very important sentences. Then they were it's a very simple schema. We have chosen words about central mysteriums of our belief, so about God, about Jesus Christ, about the human being and the sense of life. So those are the four focuses of this service, and it's corresponding also with the motto of the papal visit. The motto for these 3 days in Austria is Looking on Christ. This is also an entitled of a book which has Cardinal Ratzinger has published in the late 18th in Rome.
For anyone who wants to access these text messages or indeed download onto their mobile phones a picture of Benedict XVI or the Maria Zell or Heiligenkreuz ringtones, what do they have to do?
It's very easy. You have to send a short text to the telephone number in Austria, 0664-660-6651. And you also need one word, example, Zitat, to get those 40 sentences each day, one Zitat of the Holy Father. If you want to get the blessing words, you send to the same number the word, the keyword, Segen, S-E-G-E-N. It means blessing. If you want to get the picture on your handy, you must need the keyword build, like B-I-L-D. So it's a very easy way to get these services. And we will also have on our homepage those ringtones. You can listen to the ringtones and then you can... So here we have a ringtone. It's the big bell of St. Stephen's, you can hear. Those ringtones will be available on our homepage.
As you said, many people perhaps will not be able to make it to Maria Zell, which is really the focal point of Pope Benedict XVI's pilgrimage, because it is, as you said, a small town. How are the other preparations progressing in the lead-up to Pope Benedict XVI's pilgrimage to Maria Zell?
Yes, the Holy Father will arrive on Friday the 7th at the airport next to Vienna, and the first station will be a prayer downtown of Vienna, very old, very impressive church. The very first papal visit in our history, the visit of Pope Pius VI, has been on this place. There are many young people will be there also, many Catholics who are not German speaking, because you have to know that in Austria, especially in Vienna, in the city of Vienna, we have about 200,000 Catholics who are not German speaking. So they are from Croatian, Polish, also like small language parishes from the nearer and the Middle East and from the Philippines and so on. So it's a very intercultural Catholicism in Austria, especially in Vienna. And those people, they want to say welcome to Vienna, to the Holy Father on the first day. On the late afternoon, the Holy Father will have a reception with our political authorities, but also with the international organizations who are located in Vienna, so especially the United Nations Organization and the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. And after this first day on Friday, on Saturday, there will be the highlight of this apostolic visit, the pilgrimage of the Holy Father to Maria Zell. It's the anniversary of 850 years of this pilgrim place. And on Sunday, the Holy Father will celebrate, I will say, a normal Mass on Sunday, like many Austrians do it every Sunday in the Cathedral of St. Stephen's. So after the Holy Mass, there will be the Angelus prayer from the St. Stephen's place at 12 o'clock. And then in the afternoon, the Holy Father will visit the monastery of Heiligenkreuz, Santa Croce, which is next to Vienna, about 20 kilometers far away. And the last station will be a meeting with volunteers who are working for church and non-church organization, caritative organizations like Caritas or Hospice Movement and so on. The idea is to say thank you also to those persons who work voluntarily in many, many, many institutions of the church and of the society in order to serve people who need our help in a Christian consciousness.
You've been listening to the spokesperson for Austria's Bishops' Conference speaking to Ema McCarthy. His name is Dr. Paul Wörthe, who, as you heard a moment ago, mentioned Pope Benedict's meeting with volunteers, among them those from Caritas Austria. Susie Hodges spoke to the Secretary General of Caritas Austria, Stefan Wagner, about his work. Let's listen.
Austria has the reputation, of course, of being a prosperous country. I mean, how great a need is there for Caritas in Austria?
Well, there is also, in a prosperous country, there is a need for Caritas, there is a need for charity, because there are people who are living in poverty, who need our help. But Caritas Austria provides also social services. So we are working for elderly people, we're providing home care, we work for handicapped people, we work for drug addicts. It's kind of an illness, of course, too, and try to help these people. We work for homeless people, so we are active. We're in very different fields of social work.
Do you also work with immigrants? Because, of course, Austria has a very high proportion of immigrants, doesn't it?
Yes, we're also working with immigrants, mainly with asylum seekers. During the procedure, in many regions of Austria, Caritas, in cooperation with the regions, is looking after the asylum seekers and gives them housing and some kind of day structure.
Is there also a problem with the fact that Austria is often being used as a gateway, isn't it, for human trafficking from Eastern Europe through to Western Europe? How big a problem is that?
Well, that's a decreasing point because of the enlargement of the European Union. Austria for a very long time was the border country of the European Union, which was kind of an entrance to the European Union. And this is changing in the last month, so to say. So there are less asylum seekers coming to Austria. And we now have to improve the quality of our procedures in Austria, which was a problem for a very long time.
The asylum seekers that are still coming to Austria, even if they are in smaller numbers, where are they coming from mainly?
At the moment, mainly from Chechnya. This is at the moment the largest group, and then from different regions of the world.
Such as?
From Africa, from some countries of Eastern Europe, Asia, also other Asian regions, so from different regions.
Now, you talked about the problem of drug addiction. How big a problem is that in Austria?
Well, it's, as I suppose, not as big as it is maybe in other countries, but it is a problem. It is a problem mainly for younger persons who fall out of the educational system or don't manage to integrate in the labor market. So we really have to take care because we can get long-time problems. And there are many programs to help these people to reintegrate and to get rid of the problems.
But what kind of numbers are we talking about? Do you have any idea?
I don't know exact numbers. I think there are no proper statistics in Austria about that figure.
Now, when it comes to the position of the Catholic Church in Austria, I mean, it's predominantly a Catholic country, but does it still have as much influence, perhaps, as it did in the past?
It depends on which level you ask for influence. I think Austria is mainly a Catholic-dominated country, and it's part of the culture. I think there are so many activities, pastoral activities, cultural activities, social activities in the parishes. So that's a very integrative factor of Austrian society. So there is a vital church in Austria. Even if, of course, as in maybe all Western Europe, the members are decreasing, but in Austria on a very, very, very high level. And as Caritas, we get the big support from the Austrians for our work, either in Austria for the poor or abroad in our international programs. And there we can see that some kind of Christianity, of thinking of our neighbors is something that is very well integrated in the Austrian society.
Now, as Caritas, of course, you're helping the poor and the needy. And obviously, this means looking at the country's social and economic problems. But what about some success stories? Have you got any particular programs that are really successful or situations that have really improved? It's not all doom and gloom, this interview.
There are some success stories. We did a very interesting new program for young people volunteering in Caritas. We call it Young Caritas. You can visit our homepage, youngcaritas.at, and see our activities. We did a sponsoring run for young children who were running, and they had sponsors for every kilometer they did, and I think they ran twice the equator
twice
around the equator. And so there was a big movement of young people who became active and who were discussing and deciding in their schools to which project they want to donate what they earn with their runs. And I think we have to bring young people in contact with the situation of the world, the situation also of people in Austria who are not as lucky as they are maybe. And I think we did some good projects in the last years. We built up a network of volunteers in the field of palliative care and care for people who are in their last days or last weeks or are very, very ill. And we have a network of many, many volunteers who sit there, hold the hand, listen, talk, and just have time, which is maybe the thing we miss most if we are in a difficult situation. And these are really projects which are successful and also make us as a Caritas happy, because it means that it's getting a little bit warmer in Austria in the social respect.
You've been listening to Susie Hodges speaking to the Secretary General of Caritas Austria, Stefan Wagner. That brings us up to time. I do hope you enjoyed this broadcast. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Or should you wish to check out our website, the address is www.vaticanradio.org.
You've been listening to the English program of Vatican Radio. Laudator Jesus Christus.